You're listening to episode 135 of the FitzPro podcast. Welcome back. Today we are talking about five lessons from 5 years of entrepreneurship. And that obviously applies to those of you who are wanting to grow a brand or a business in the online space, specifically in the world of health and fitness. Also, as a little disclaimer, it is frigid here today. And so I do have my space heater on in the background. I'm hoping that you can't hear it at all. But if you do hear it, that's what's going on, and I'm just not willing to freeze. So here we are. Without further ado, let's dive in. The FitzPro podcast is your no BS approach to seeking out truth in the world that is online health and fitness. You'll see through the lens of the trainer, the trainee, and the entrepreneur. I'm your host, Annie Miller, certified strength and conditioning specialist, entrepreneur, lover of sleep, lattes, and dinosaurs. AKA not your average FitzPro, and my aim is to help you grow your mind, body, and business through knowledge and authenticity so that you too can become a FitzPro. If you don't already know, I have a on-demand free workshop called Your Biz, Your Way, 3 Steps to Build a Profitable Online Health and Fitness Business. If you are in the world of online health and fitness, I highly suggest you check that out. You can register at anniemiller.co/workshop-register. And if you are not necessarily in that boat, you can still head to the site and snag all of the free resources that I have ever created at anniemiller.co/resources. You can find both of those links in the show notes. And again, that last one is just any free download or resource that I have created, you can find there. Also, I would like to thank the number one brand of all natural sports supplements in the world, Legion Athletics, for sponsoring this podcast. If you are in the market for supplements, if you have that luxury and you would like to add supplements to your current diet, to your current regimen that you have, I highly recommend Legion. I personally love them because they have 100% formula transparency and they are actually backed by science. They are also 100% naturally sweetened and flavored, so there's just no extra crap. I don't always love the flavor of everything, but I do love the flavors of things that I use, which are their whey protein, their pre-workout, their non-stim pre-workout, their recharge, and then all of their vitamins that they have to offer. I almost exclusively use their brand for my vitamins. If you are skeptical, they do have a 100% money-back guarantee and free shipping. So again, if you're in the market for supplements, check them out. Go to buylegion.com and use code Annie at checkout to save 20% off your first order. If you already love Legion, if you're an existing customer, then using code Annie will still get you double Legion reward points. So head to buylegion.com, use code Annie. Jumping right in, again, these are 5 lessons from 5 years of entrepreneurship. Now, I've actually been an entrepreneur for 6 years, but really aggressively, I guess, for the last 5. So number one is that only entrepreneurs get it. I had one business friend up until about 2 years ago. And in my first 4 years or so, I didn't fit in. I wasn't a cool kid. I didn't fit into any of the boxes. And I've talked about this before. I looked around the online space of fitness coaches, health and fitness coaches. And frankly, I didn't want to be in any of the groups that I saw. And that's not that they are bad. It just didn't appeal to me. What I saw out there. They were full of terms like boss babe or empires, right? Build your empire. I didn't want to build an empire, especially when I was just starting out. I didn't feel like a CEO, and the word boss babe definitely did not describe me, nor did I want to be that. It wasn't appealing to me. Slowly but surely, I found my people, people who did business in a similar way to me, who ran their business the way that I wanted to run my business, and the way that they functioned as an entrepreneur was appealing to me. We shared philosophies. I have no quick fix for this, as it happened very organically for me. And like I said, not quickly at all. Again, this came very late, I feel like, in my entrepreneurial journey, me finding kind of my people. And partially, I'm sure that that is my fault. I could have been more proactive. Perhaps joining a mastermind or more free Facebook groups was the right route, was the right thing to do, and I just didn't do those things. I can't say if I would have found my people earlier. I don't know. But all I know is that entrepreneurship can be very lonely. I think that knowing yourself is very important in this particular note, in this lesson. Some of my business clients go to co-working spaces because they just need to be around humans and they know that about themselves. Others do just fine all day by themselves. That is more so me. But even as an extreme introvert, I would say, entrepreneurship is still lonely, and only entrepreneurs understand what it's like to be an entrepreneur. And it's just a really lovely thing to know that other people get it, that someone else understands the feeling of sending the wrong link or failing a launch or feeling like you're in a constant state of trial and error, like working 10 hours or more per day is going to be your norm forever. The feeling of your business being like your baby, and just the vulnerability of entrepreneurship and everything that comes with that. There is power in feeling like you're seen, feeling like somebody else understands where you're at and what it feels like. And you're not looking for answers. You're just looking for a, yep, I get it. I've been there. And only entrepreneurs get that. So that is number one. Only entrepreneurs get it. And I would highly suggest reaching out, putting yourself out there, commenting on people's posts that you want to be friends with, DMing them, like create relationships, instigate things, right? Initiate conversation and then let it happen organically, hopefully. I have reached out to many people over the years, shared their content, DM'd them, and it just hasn't really clicked. Nothing has really come from it, and that's okay. But I also only have the entrepreneur friends that I have now because of reaching out via a DM, sharing their content, meeting them through another entrepreneur that I know. It really is networking. It's just in the online space, and it can sometimes take a little bit longer than, you know, when you are confined to a conference and you're meeting people and you're mingling. So just keep that in mind. Lesson number two is, I don't even want to say it because you're going to be like, Annie, shut up. I've heard this 5,000 times. Track your numbers. And I know that sounds like a broken record, not only from me, but from like every business coach that ever lived. And that's for a good reason. When you track your numbers, you have objective data that allows you to make more educated decisions. It helps you to have context behind why you are attempting to move the needle or whatever needle you are trying to move. When I say track your numbers, I am referring quite literally to whatever numbers you have at this stage of business. And just because you're tracking a certain number does not mean that you have to try and improve upon every single number that you're tracking. I encourage you to look at all of your numbers, your Instagram followers, your engagement on Instagram, your email list subscribers, your wait list, your website or application page views, if you have that, your revenue per customer, your client retention, right? Whatever metrics you have in your business at this state, track them at least on a monthly basis, and then you can decide which ones you're focusing on, which needles you're trying to move and improve upon. And the earlier that you can start doing this, the easier it will be to expedite growth in a meaningful manner and to continue tracking your metrics and numbers as you grow. I can tell you for certain that attempting to start looking at your numbers when you're 3 years in can be a very overwhelming task. But no matter where you're at in business, tracking your numbers can be fun. Yes, tracking numbers can be fun, even if it feels very daunting right now. I find more often than not, the numbers are better than we think. We've often made up narratives in our head that aren't necessarily true and are closer to worst case scenario than best case scenario. And that's the joy of numbers. It takes the guessing out of the game when you actually look at them. It's completely objective. It's data. They just are what they are. It's a neutral thing. You can decide to put effort into changing them, and they're not bad or good. Again, we assign these numbers their value. So there's just some perspective around numbers. Whether you are or are not tracking in your business now, I encourage you to do so. I also want to add to that, I think entrepreneurs can tend towards measuring the success of their business solely by revenue or the number of clients that they have. And there's so much more context to be given around a business and its success, especially when we are talking about solo entrepreneurs, when you're doing this by yourself, when you are every single role possible in your business. Number three is the fact that no one has it all figured out. And this might sound like another cliche thing, but entrepreneurship is one of the easiest places in life to compare yourself to other people. It lends itself to this very easily. And that can be a very tough part, honestly, about being in community with other entrepreneurs. I say can be because this is a you thing, no one else. For instance, I rarely share my financial wins with anyone outside of like my husband. The only other people that ever hear about my financial wins are entrepreneurs because they get it. And it's not taboo to share those in those places with other entrepreneurs, which is something so beautiful about entrepreneurship, or it can be. But when you see someone else having success or taking a certain approach, and then you start to question your approach or how successful you are, that does absolutely nothing for anyone. And we've all done it. I'm not talking at you here, right? I have been in this situation and I'm sure I will be in this situation again. With that comes the truth that you are not inside anyone else's business but your own. And nobody has it all figured out. Absolutely, there is growth and you will figure things out along the way, as we all do. But if you find yourself in the downward kind of spiral of thinking that everyone else has it figured out, has more resources, has more discipline, has a better understanding of X, Y, and Z, I challenge you to pivot your train of thought. One, to remind you that not everyone has it figured out. And two, to remind yourself that no one else's level of success or timeline has literally any bearing on yours. Just because someone else is doing something or has reached some level, some metric that you want, or some part of their life that you want, that doesn't mean that now you can't or that you're late, right? The two are not connected. Humans are broken. They're imperfect. We're imperfect. If we know that about ourselves, we know that it applies to everyone else and vice versa. So entrepreneurship will humble you, and it is one of the most self-refining ventures that you can go on. And I have personally had probably 5 or 6 conversations in the past year, if not the last 6 months, with other entrepreneurs about this very topic. And all of those people are roughly 5 to 6 years in to their business. And we're still talking about how humbling entrepreneurship is, how refining entrepreneurship is, if you let it. So take from that what you wish, leave the rest. But number one and number three kind of go hand in hand. The fact that entrepreneurs are the only ones that are going to understand entrepreneurship and that nobody has it all figured out. So definitely seek to get in relationship with people who are aligned with you and are on this entrepreneurial journey. Why is that word difficult for me on today of all days? And that is a lovely little segue into number 4, which is to fail early and fail fast. You have the most room to mess up, look stupid, get it wrong, and learn when you have the least to lose. Entrepreneurship single-handedly made me face my fear of failure. It gave me no choice, and my fear of success as well, if I'm being honest. I wish I would have done more and done it bigger earlier in my business career. Because like I said, in the beginning, you have the least to lose. It's when you have the least amount of people listening and watching. It's when you have the lowest number of clients. It's when you have the lowest amount of feedback and the most space to figure it out. It's just difficult because it's also when you have the least amount of confidence, because you have the least amount of experience. So it makes sense that it's the scariest kind of time to put yourself out there. I'm simply encouraging you, as someone who has been where you are, to just do it. To shift your perspective to the fact that you have the most to gain and the least to lose right now in those first few years. And that you will only gain more and more confidence as you continue to try things. The higher frequency you try things at, the more confidence you're going to gain and the more things you're going to figure out. You become more resilient, not by staying comfortable. We know this. We see that literally in every other aspect of life. So I will pass on to you one of my favorite practices from Tim Ferriss and the 4-Hour Workweek, I read that book in Spain in 2017, I believe, and it changed a lot of things for me. Ask yourself, what is the worst thing that can happen? And then think about how you might come back from that. Number one, the worst thing that can happen is typically not as bad as we think. And two, you're probably pretty capable of coming back, of bouncing back from whatever that worst case scenario is. As stated, entrepreneurship is extremely self-refining. And the little conversation that we just had is a perfect example of that. Truly, the earlier that you can learn to be okay with failure, or at least welcome failure, the better you're going to be at this whole entrepreneurship thing, if you learn from that failure. The last one is the fact that communication and content are king. I don't have a business degree, but I would assume that there's not enough talk about communication, human behavior and psychology, and a brand's ability to use those through social media and sales in a business degree. I could be wrong, and I literally have zero experience, so I could like really be wrong. But it's funny because I became much more open to sales when I stopped focusing on sales and started focusing on my communication skills and understanding of my ideal client. When I started focusing on humans, human behavior, and learning how to communicate, I began to really enjoy the process of sales, the process of educating my clientele, the process of learning about my clientele. It's a skill like anything else that you can learn, and it takes practice. And if you want to be successful in the online space of business, communication and content are king. Specifically, how you use those in tandem to build trust and eventually make sales. So I want you to think about your messaging, your brand identity, your philosophy, and how well you communicate those things to your audience through your content. To be more specific, it's ideal that the content is entertaining. And I first heard this from Jim Crowell, but he called it edutainment. And I thought that was absolute perfection. I don't know if he coined the phrase or if he heard it somewhere else, but that's where I heard it for the first time. And that is the marriage that I'm talking about with educating your audience through communication, but using entertaining tactics via your content to do that. I've talked about this on other podcast episodes, but video is the future. Really, video is the present. And it's probably worth your time to sit down and think about how you can use video in the simplest way to better communicate to your audience or to communicate to your audience in another manner. Simply ignoring the fact that video is being pushed on nearly every social platform is not going to change the truth that video is absolutely the future. In the same breath, simply making a video is not entertaining in itself. It also doesn't mean that you suddenly know how to communicate better. And that's why I say to focus on your messaging and your communication skills first. That means in your emails, on your sales page, in your application, in your captions, the voice that you use, the verbiage that you use, the proof that you understand where your audience is and what they want from you or what you can provide to them. That's the focus. And then we deliver that through different means of content. And this kind of goes back to why I'm not anti-hustle culture. I'm anti-hustle for the rest of your life, but everyone I know who is attempting to get out of the hustle mindset, the hustle lifestyle, hustled to get where they are. I have talked about this before, similar to myself. So the same is kind of true with content. All of the people you see that have large, engaged audiences probably posted every single day for the last 1 to 10 years to get where they are. And I guarantee that they were creating shareable content, and at some point that a larger account shared a piece of their content, probably more than once, and they got an influx of aligned followers from that experience. And I say that extremely confidently because it happened for myself and many other entrepreneurs specifically in this field that I know. My point with that is that if you're putting out a piece of content every day, that means that you're creating 365 posts and 365 captions, or very near that. And that's a ton of practice in 1 year. That's so many reps. Your content and your communication is bound to improve if you are creating with intent during that time at that frequency. Content is how you're going to build an audience, and communication is how you're going to build an audience as well as make sales. So if you didn't have a focus for 2022 yet, maybe that's it. Maybe you can pull something from these five lessons from 5 years of entrepreneurship to focus in the upcoming year. Finally, if you love the Fitzbro podcast or you appreciated this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and give the show 5 stars and a written review. It is much appreciated. And also check out my main mailing list options. You can subscribe to Annie's Daily Dose, which is kind of my daily action-taking email, or Annie's Weekly Wisdom, where I answer a question from you and then also give you a question to answer as well. You can subscribe to either of those at anniemiller.co/news. Until next time, I am Annie Miller, and thank you so much for listening to the Fitzpro podcast.